from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Uh-oh. It's that time of year again.
It's time, everybody. It is time. Maybe some bad blood between the Eagles and Packers Friday night. We'll see.
Hey.
But no bad blood with us and Ross Tucker. We're excited to have Ross as part of the show every single week. Time will change moving forward. But today, we start at 11 a.m. Ross Tucker with us. Of course, check out the Ross Report with Ross talking about the Eagles every day on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, good morning. Happy football season.
Ross.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Happy football season is right. I was already so fired up to come on and talk to you guys to kick this thing off. But of course, Kyle plays a song of our girl Taylor Swift. Now I'm even doubly excited.
I can tell it. I can hear it in your voice. It's bananas.
It's true. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I love her songs. They make me smile and get happy. I don't know why some guys won't admit her songs are awesome and they get you excited. It's fine to admit that, fellas. Just be honest with yourself.
Oh, I'm with you, Ross. She's awesome. I mean, she's great. I'm not denying that. Ross, there's a pep in your step. I can hear it. There's like an extra octave to your voice, which means it's football season. Ross, we start this thing Friday night. Before we get to the game and your thoughts on Eagles-Packers, just your thoughts on the team, Ross, because the way I view them is there's a lot of potential, a lot of talent here, but also I still have major questions off the way last year ended. Ross, you've seen them. You broadcast the preseason games. How good are the Eagles in your mind as we enter 2024?
Yeah, so let's talk about the roster, right? I think it's a top five roster in the NFL still, and I think it's clearly the best roster in the NFC East. That doesn't mean there aren't questions. It feels so weird to say this to you guys. I would say my biggest questions for this team right now are probably the O-line and D-line.
Mm.
You know, I mean, offensive line, listen, Jeff Stoutland has done a terrific job. I feel awesome about four of the spots. But Mekhi Becton, we haven't seen it. First of all, we haven't seen him play well since his rookie year, which was a while ago. We haven't ever really seen him play guard. I mean, he played three snaps or whatever the first series of the preseason game against the Ravens, and he has not shown to be a guy that teams can rely on. I mean, if he plays really well for the Eagles, this will be a huge feather in really the entire organization, but in particular, you know, Jeff Stoutland's cap, if they're able to get – this guy has not stayed healthy. He has not been consistent. I mean, it's a question, and I think the depth is a question as well. And then on defense, you know, they lost Fletcher Cox and Hassan Reddick, who might have been their best D-tackle and best edge rusher last year. And so there's a lot of questions with the other guys. We'll see if Huff can do it. We'll see if the young Georgia Bulldogs can do it. But it's kind of weird. After the preseason, Joe, to answer your question, I feel much better about linebacker and about corner than I did starting training camp. But I'm actually a little bit more concerned about the O-line and D-line.
You know what? When you talk about that offensive line and Mekhi Becton in particular, talk about how hard it is to play guard. And then talk about how hard it is to play guard when you're like 6'7" or whatever it is Mekhi is.
Well, the two big changes for him, right? When you're a tackle, guys, you're pretty much just blocking the edge rusher. You know, I mean, it's the easiest position on the offensive line mentally and probably the toughest physically because of the guys you're going against. When you go inside, he's going against very different body types now, right? And they're right there right now. And a lot of these guys, think of like Aaron Donald. A lot of these guys are like 6'1". Yeah, think of the guy, they're like 6'1",
yeah.
310, 320. He is not going to be able to get leverage on them. I'm always impressed by the guys that can play guard effectively at 6'6 and taller, because you're going against shorter guys. The other thing that I think teams will test him on early, I know I would, is that the guard is much more often involved in blitzes from the linebackers, right? Because a lot of times it's like, okay, the tackles basically have the edge guys, and then the center and both guards, they have two D tackles and at least one, maybe two linebackers that they're responsible for. So I don't know how quickly Becton processes things mentally. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well he'll pass off those blitzes. I do think that the Packers will test him. I mean, I think early in the game, they'll put Kenny Clark over him in one-on-one situations. They'll put the Wyatt kid over him. And I also think they'll run some blitzes, and they'll see whether or not Becton, because I've been on multiple teams where they tried to move a tackle to guard, and it did not work because those guys could not process how fast those blitzes happen in the NFL.
All right, Ross, off that and off the question about Becton, and obviously last year with the Eagles struggling against the blitz, how do you think this offense is going to look? It's hard for me to take anything from the preseason games because it's all vanilla. But, you know, the last couple of years, Jalen Hurts has been a guy that likes to throw the football down the field. Big, deep shots to A.J. and Devontae. Do you think we're going to have more of a shorter passing attack and letting those guys use their abilities in space? Because if they're worried about the O-line and protection and blitzes, it would seem to me, and now with Saquon, getting the ball out of Jalen's hands quicker could be the way this offense looks.
Well, and it's funny you say that, Joe, because I actually, on the Ross report yesterday, my biggest reason for enthusiasm about this Eagles team is their coordinators, including their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. You know, think about this. Here's how I look at it. What would their record have been last year if they still had Steichen and Gannon? There's no way they lose all those games at the end like that. There's just no way. I mean, those guys are huge upgrades over Matt Patricia and Brian Johnson, and I think so are Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. I think just that is probably worth a couple games. And the answer to your question, Joe, is I think with Kellen Moore, it's both. If you go back and you watch him, both with the Cowboys and the Chargers, he likes to throw it deep. You know, he's a quarterback. Most of those guys do. He likes to try to get explosive plays. However, thank goodness he still will have answers for the blitz. It was absolutely maddening to watch the team at the end of the year last year not have very good answers to when it was an all-out blitz. And then defensively, I've just never seen anything like that. I mean, just how many guys can you say played so much worse the last month of the season than they did the rest of the year? I mean, it's like Sweat and Jordan Davis and Blankenship and Jalen Carter. I mean, it's like half the defense at least, right? So I think just having Fangio and Hill and Moore will be in there. I think they'll try to drive the ball down the field. But, Joe, if the other team blitzes, he's going to throw the ball to Goddard. He's going to throw the ball real quick to one of the receivers, or he's going to throw it to Barkley. He's going to have answers.
And he needs to, because last year they didn't. They had no answers, and it just looked so bad down the stretch. I think they will this year. I'm with you on that. Ross, let's look forward to Friday night. It's, you know, sometimes we ease into these seasons. Like last year, the game week one was in New England, and it was a tight game, but it wasn't like a, wow, what a big game to start the year. This is big ramifications, potentially NFC seeding, all that. Ross, let's talk about the game from the perspective of how good the Packers are. There's some people that think this is their year. They're going to continue what they did last year at the end. And some people are like, hey, they had a half a season where they were good. Ross, how challenging is this game? How good are the Packers?
Well, they had half a season where they were good, but it was the last half of the season, right? I mean, they're kind of the opposite of last year's Eagles. They are by far, and shout out to Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice, who takes the time to do this every year, they are by far the youngest team in the NFL. And that usually bodes pretty darn well if you're this talented as well. Their front office, I'm not going to say they're as good as Howie Roseman and the Eagles front office, but they're up there. Look at their roster. I'm looking at it right now. Every starter on offense, except for the running back Josh Jacobs, was drafted by the Packers. And in fact, all of them, except for this year's first round pick, Jordan Morgan and Jordan Love, weren't even drafted in the first round. It's just extremely impressive. I do think they'll pick up where they left off last year. I do think Jordan Love is that good. Remember, for the fans don't remember, there's six different plays I could name off the top of my head where if they went the other way, they would have beat the Niners in the divisional round. They would have been in the NFC Championship game in Detroit last year. That's how well they were playing after they smashed the Cowboys. It's a gigantic test for the Eagles. There's a clear cut, guys, top four teams in the NFC in my mind this year. The Niners, the Lions, the Packers, and the Eagles, which makes this about as important of a week one game as you can have. I mean, it's not a division game, but it's pretty close.
And it sets the tone, certainly for the Eagles, if they can move past last year and turn that page this year. All right, Ross, let's end with this as we are excited to have you on each week. Ross, we're asking all our guests this week to give us their win total for the Eagles. As you sit here right now entering week one, Ross Tucker, what's your Eagles season record?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of gone back and forth. I think they're in the 11-13 range. You know, I mean, they won 11 last year, and I think that they're better, especially at the coordinator positions this year. And then I also think that there's a little bit of a drop-off from the Dallas Cowboys and that there's a chance that the Eagles could sweep them this year. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong about that. So I'm going to go 12. I'll go 12-5. I think that's kind of a conservative, I think it's right in the middle, right? If I think between 11 and 13, I'll hit it right in the middle. I think 12-5, they win the division, then we see what happens in January.
We do. Ross, we appreciate it. Excited to talk every week, and of course, we'll check out the Ross Report on social media. Thank you, Ross.
Appreciate you. Take care, guys.
There he goes. Week one. Ross has a pep in his step there. He's excited.
Yeah, it's football season about to start. He's been working. He's been busy doing a couple of college games.
He was in Hawaii last weekend,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I had that ugly-ass shirt on. I was going to say something, but I ran out of time.
Yeah, you waited until he was off the air. That shot. All right, 215-592-9494. We're right back to the phones on this side. We do expect to hear from Nick Sirianni today. We'll carry that live on the show on WIP. Plus, a second clue to win a $50 gift card to the Chesapeake Inn Restaurant and Marina for Hughes Clues today. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? We'll check the poll results, your calls as well. I don't think so. Hugh is entering the season as optimistic as ever. I can't believe we got callers here saying they see the thing about defense with you.
No, because they see it.
Oh, jeez.
It just takes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm trying to change the world one person at a time.
Unfortunately, it might be working.
One person at a time.
215-592-9494 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilli. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Tuesday, post-Labor Day. It is football season. We'll get to some Phillies as well. Nick Sirianni is going to speak. When he does, we'll carry it live on WIP. As the Eagles have a big day of practice today. Tomorrow, they get on that plane down to Brazil. Speaking of, Elliot Shore Parks live from Brazil with us later on in the show. All right, Hugh, before we get to all the phone calls here, I just want to point out this poll is about 50-50. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC?
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
You believe it. You believe, say it as loud as you want. I need to see it to believe it. Where are you at on the Eagles as we enter the season? Are they the best team in the National Football Conference? All right, Hugh, before we go any further, let's give the people a second clue.
We got to give them a second clue.
Yeah, you know what? That first one was...
a little vague.
A little vague.
It's supposed to be vague, people.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
All right, so the first clue was, this is a city that Hugh played a professional game. Clue number two, Hugh.
Y'all ready for this second clue? Mm-hmm. This was a better one.
Okay.
They don't have a team, a pro team, in this city.
Oh, see, now we're getting somewhere. So that obviously eliminates a lot, but we'll figure out if people can land on this one. You want a $50 gift card you win today to the Chesapeake Inn Restaurant and Marina in Chesapeake City, Maryland. We'll be there for the show on Thursday. All right, Will in the Northeast is up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Will, we're doing great. We got a Phillies team winning. We got it's week one here. This is a great time. What's up, Will?
I just want to ask, why is the Phillies winning?
Well, because you know who it is. It's someone that deserves an apology from Hugh
John
Douglas.
Felino.
Yeah, I can't believe. What a night for Nick on
Listen,
Sunday.
I can't believe.
Hey, baby, listen, I told you, that light is already lit, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm just grateful for the wins. And, you know, I believe they're going to keep carrying it out now. They ain't taking no prisoners no more. Ain't no more giveaway games.
No. Now we're barreling towards, you know, finishing this division with the magic number under 20. All right, Will, what are you thinking on the Eagles? Are they the best team in the NFC?
No, I can't say that. I haven't seen them play yet. I can't say they're the best just because of, you know, big names. We know a lot of teams that have big names that, like, boozed out. So until I see – I got to go at least five games before I'm all
in. Five of them things. You heard him.
You know what, Will? I don't think that's crazy. Two, three, four, five games.
Yeah.
We need to see them play well. Will, we haven't seen them play well since last, I don't know, November?
Right.
I mean, that's been a long
been a
time.
Minute.
Right.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Right. I just, you know, I think like a lot of people were saying, our offense may be able to shoot it out. But I'm just worried about the defense. You know, the main thing I'm worried about is the tackling. Have they been, like, training and learning how to tackle? Because last season it was, like, a disgrace. So I'm just hoping that tackling part, you know, they improve that 100%, you know. But other than that, I think we got a great shot. I think we, like I said, I got to see first. Showing is proven.
Well,
apprehensive.
It's okay, and
ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for Friday night. But in terms of being the best in the NFC, I'm reserved on that. I got to see it. Will, give us a guess here. Hugh's clues. Who is he? What city is he talking about today?
I think I've been on track with you for the last few guesses.
You're usually good at this, Will. Yeah, you're one of our better ones.
I'm gonna think. I got like three, but I'm gonna go with. How about both your teams you played in this city? How about London?
London. Now, that's a good guess, Will. We appreciate it. That's not it, Hugh.
No, I didn't play in London.
All right. You never played in London. But that,
unfortunately.
But I think Will got the spirit of it, right?
Yeah, like, he did.
He's
thinking outside the box.
Currently have an NFL team. But, yeah, Hugh played a game there, a professional game, at one point. All right. Let's go to Don in Old City. What's up, Don? Don, what's up, pal?
Good guess.
What'd you say?
What I was going to say was, hey, how you doing? I feel like I got to see the Eagles play to see if they can improve, you know, from last year. Because I haven't seen anything yet.
No, I mean, that's fair.
And just a couple more things I want to say real quick.
Mm-hmm.
As far as any players talking about going to Brazil and issues over there, this is all I have to say. Play. Just play. It's about the game. It's not about going there and taking a tour of Brazil. It's just there to play the game, period. That's it. You don't want to focus too much on tourism. You just want to see playism. That's it.
Yeah, Don, I'm a little. It kind of
bothered you a little bit.
Well, my antenna's up that they're. It's almost like a built-in excuse that this is on their mind. Like both teams have to deal with this. It's not just the Eagles going to Brazil. The Packers got to go there too. And when I hear the Packers talk, Don, it's like, yeah, we're excited to go. And the Eagles are like, yeah, we don't want to be there. Well, you got to be there.
It's a game. Go play. Come home. That's it. Win. We want them to win. Just go and play the hell out of the game and come the hell home. That's it.
Wait a self-edit. Wait a self-edit.
And all this other crap.
Appreciate that.
Don, I hear
and
you.
One more thing I want to touch on.
Uh-huh.
Well, one more thing I want to touch on. As far as a Taylor Swift song, listen, I'd rather hear a SpongeBob saying Sweet Victory, Queen, or Survivor. I just want to hear some rock. I don't want to hear all that.
So you're anti-Taylor Swift?
Hey, he started out so strong, dude.
I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear no Taylor Swift. I want to hear SpongeBob on my
life. How do you pull it off?
What about you singing Taylor Swift, Don?
That's what people say.
I don't even want to see you.
That's what people
Taylor
say.
Swift.
Don, give us a guess here.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
There's Don's guess.
Y'all better leave.
Baltimore, the home of the Ravens.
Don, appreciate it. Now, Baltimore does currently have an NFL team.
Terrible guess.
Baltimore.
Now, when you entered the league, did Baltimore have a team? When was the first year of the Ravens? I think it was 96.
No, they were Cleveland.
That's what I mean, right?
They were Cleveland because Ray Lewis... He got drafted in 97, 96.
He was an original Raven.
Yeah, he was a Brown.
I don't think he was.
Are you sure?
I think the
Browns were Browns.
The 95 Browns were the last Browns.
And then the 96, they were the Ravens.
Okay, that's right, because it was him and Jonathan. You're right, him and Jonathan Ogden. They were in the process of moving.
What a way to build a franchise. Their first two picks is
Hall of Famers.
Ogden and Lewis.
No, I mean, can't do any worse than that.
How
and had
it?
three from that team. Ed Reed too was a part. He wasn't a part of that draft, but
later on, yeah.
Yeah.
You went up. How was it to try to get around Jonathan Ogden?
Man, listen, he was like Jonathan. You know what the thing that was irritating about Jonathan was that he was so big and it looked like he was moving slow, and he was always smiling. I hated that about him. It was like you couldn't talk trash to him because he was a wall.
And he was tall.
Yeah, he was a big dude, man. And he just smiled and he just went on about his job.
Now, it's interesting because if my memory serves, I think his rookie year he played guard. You were speaking about how it could be challenging for a tall, former tackle to move to guard. Now, he did it for a year, I think, and then he moved back to tackle. Obviously went to the Hall of Fame doing it. But Hugh, when we had Ross on a few minutes ago, his questions about the Eagles are the same as mine. Their pass rush and specifically the middle of their offensive line, Juergens replacing Kelsey. But the Becton thing, Hugh, you've been on this from the beginning, that Becton is very tall to play guard, and he's the guard on Friday night.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy you play against, man, that you look like you want to get up underneath. I mean, you know, when I say that, I mean, because basically Ross was talking about leverage. And you're talking about 6'1", 5'11", D tackles, that when they see a big guy like that, they're just going to try to run him back to the quarterback. Now, it's going to be interesting to see it. If he's having trouble with that, then they're going to have to adjust. They're going to have to make some adjustments in order to compensate for him being bull rushed. But they feel strongly about the fact that he can hold his own in the middle, and plus he's going to have that center there. Cam's a pretty athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to have a center out there that's getting a steering wheel put in his back and getting drove to the quarterback all the time. That's the thing you worry about with a guy like Mekhi Becton, as tall as he is.
Yeah, and look, Becton's career, he was pretty good as a rookie, but I have skepticism. I mean, the Jets were desperate for offensive linemen. They signed a couple this offseason. They drafted one in the first round. He was one of their first-round picks just about 4 years ago, and they let him go. I mean, it makes me wonder, like, how can he play? I mean, now Stoutland is really good, Hugh, and he's taken journeymen and helped make them into really good players.
He believes in them. He definitely believes in them. But, you know, you do worry about that, man, because it's different. It's a different animal when you go out there and you got these little D tackles that know you have trouble, like, getting low. Because that's the thing that I would think about. When I saw him playing that position, I'm thinking that, you know, you're a guy that's 6'7". If I'm 6'1", I got to play to my advantage. Mm-hmm. Low man win. And that's the one rule in football from peewee to pros that has never changed. Low man win. And if the low man is getting underneath him, that could be a problem for him.
No question. Do you believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC? Yes or no? 51% right now are with Hugh Douglas. Yes, believe they are the best team in the NFC. 49 on our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Brian is at Drexel Hill this morning. Hey, Brian.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, Brian. What are you feeling this morning?
I was really excited to hear Hugh sing some Taylor Swift, but I mean, I'll settle for talking about some Eagles.
If you want Hugh to sing, we got plenty of that.
No,
here.
Don't, let's not.
Nah, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Living in a big blue world.
Yeah, but I'm totally confident in the Eagles' ability to be the top team in the NFC this year. We have one of the best, if not the best, offensive core. Our big question mark, people would have to argue, would be our defense. And then even then, with our defensive backs, like, people say that your D-line, a good D-line, makes your D-backs look good. I think we're going to see the opposite. I think we have so many great defensive backs that they're going to cover well, and it's going to give our D-line more time to get to the quarterback.
You know, Brian, that's always interesting to me. It's like what came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
They do go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. And, Brian, last year I thought they were both not good enough, right? Like, they didn't get enough of a pass rush, but also the secondary stunk. Brian, I have questions about the pass rush, but I do think the secondary is going to be much, much better. I mean, you have Slay, who, as of right now, still looks like he hasn't fallen off yet. Quinion, it seems like, is going to play a lot. And then you got Ringo, you got Rodgers. I think eventually Cooper DeJean's going to play a lot. Like, the secondary should be way better than last year.
Yeah, and then you got Malcolm Jenkins coming back. So we're, like, loaded in our defensive back. Mm-hmm. Even our linebackers, you could argue, take an upgrade with Devin Boyd.
CJ GJ, you mean, not Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I like Malcolm.
Back.
Yeah,
Malcolm
might be cooked. I think he's pretty cooked at this point.
He's
too old, yeah. Brian, give us a guess here for Hugh's Clues. What city is Hugh talking about today?
All right, I'm pretty sure I had this locked in on the first clue, and the second clue just made me more sure. I'm going to go Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ooh, Honolulu. Hugh?
No,
Brian.
That's a good guess, though.
It's a good guess. Now, to be fair, you did play a professional football game in Honolulu, right?
Yeah, well, if that's what you want to call it.
The Pro Bowl's not professional?
Man, everybody was over
there. It was
there.
Probably more professional back then than it is now.
Yeah, yes, it was. Oh, yeah.
Right, football game, no.
People used to watch the Pro Bowl. Now,
it used to be fun.
What happened?
People got tired of going to. You spend more money, like, being in Hawaii than you actually made in Hawaii. It was weird, man. It was weird.
You know when it really ended to me? When they took it out of Hawaii. Where they put it? Orlando or Arizona? They moved it around?
The Wide World of Sports or something like that. When it went down there, and then now it became a flag football game. But it seems like it's more fun, like more guys are involved as far as some of the events and stuff like that. So, yeah, it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I have no interest in watching it. I know some people do. What was the story last year? Remember Jalen was smiling there? He was having a good time after looking not as excited the entire season. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Mark is up on WIP. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning. What do you feel, Mark?
Well, you guys were talking about mindset earlier, and a couple things to come on here. First of all, it is winter in Brazil, so traveling there for the Packers is already an advantage for them. But more importantly,
Mark, I didn't realize that till this morning. I heard Elliot on. He'll join us later on because he's down there. Elliot is
this in winter.
It's their winter. Yeah. Now, it's not cold, but it's their winter. Yeah, it never dawned on me that the climate is winter in Brazil.
But if Coach Sirianni is listening, I hope he is. The one thing I cannot get over and not forget last year, it's going to be Kellen Moore's biggest challenge this year is the last game of the season against the Bucs. When the Chiefs were down, the heat was on. Hurts was sitting on the bench all to himself. And across the field, Baker Mayfield was up and down the sidelines, pumping his guys up. And there's Hurts sitting there, staring off in the – and just defeat was on his face. And as a coach, as a player, that is just unacceptable. And I hope that Kellen Moore can overcome that this year.
Well, Mark, with that, I do – here's my big – well, I have a lot of questions. But one question I have, Mark, and I can't wait to find out the answer whenever we get there, is how do they handle adversity? Like, it's all good now, right? Everyone is kind of shook hands and made up, and we're all good, putting our arms around it. Yeah. But, like, Mark, what you're saying, like, the first time they struggle or Jalen has a bad half or the offense doesn't move the ball for a quarter and a half, is the mindset on the sideline like that, or is it more upbeat? I don't know. How is Sirianni going to handle when things go off the rails? If they handle it well, they've got enough talent. But if they go in the tank again, it doesn't matter.
Jalen's got to be a leader. That's the bottom line. He's got to be a leader. And he's got a young core And to answer your question, I think the Eagles are the most exciting team in the NFC, not the best. I think they're going to go 13-4, but I'll give it to the 49ers this year. They got a lot more at stake. They got to win. But you're speaking my language today. I'm living in Baltimore now, and Ravens are my AFC team. But I got a big green on my calendar for December 1st.
Oh, it's a big one. That'll be a fun game down there in Baltimore. Mark, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, what city is Hugh talking about today?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pass on this so that one of these boys up north can get a chance to win and come down and experience that Chesapeake City. It's a good place. So
it's awesome, Mark.
That.
Mark, we appreciate it, man. Yeah, we'll be down there Thursday for the show, the Chesapeake Inn and Marina in Chesapeake City, Maryland. We're kicking off the NFL season with our show there, 10-2 on Thursday. $50 gift card on the line today. All right, so Mark said something there about the mindset and the leadership of Jalen Hurts. Hugh, that came up a lot during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been talked about less his leadership. It's more been the relationship with him and Sirianni, right?
Yeah,
are those two on the same page?
It's the relationship. I'm not penalizing Jalen for doing something that he's always done. It's amazing that when things go bad, some things get pointed out and they're more, I guess, egregious when you're losing as opposed to they were when you were winning. Because Jalen, to me, when I saw him on the sideline, he's been the same. It's just that, unfortunately, when he's losing, that's when it becomes exacerbated. It becomes one of those things that people talk about a lot. It's like, oh, he's on the sideline. He's not saying a whole lot. Well, if you go back and you look at the year that they were winning, you know, going to the Super Bowl, demeanor was somewhat the same. Like, you could say that he was a little bit more excited.
Well, people thought it was stoicism.
Yeah,
it was stoic.
He's so stoic. Look how he is. He's always serious and da-da-da-da-da. So it's different when you're losing.
But doesn't sometimes different moments call for different forms of leadership?
I agree.
Yeah, you know, when things are bad and people think you're sulking, it doesn't lift. Sometimes you got to lift people up.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that at some point it rubbed people the wrong way. But I can't be mad at him for handling it the way that he handled it. Now, maybe you can make the argument that it probably wasn't the right way to handle it.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he goes about that this year. But it's one of those things where I'm not going to demote him for going out there and being somewhat similar.
Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. We actually liked Jalen's demeanor when they were winning. We hated it when they were losing.
Yeah.
Here's my very simple advice on this. Play better. Throw less interceptions, fumble the ball less, and then no one's going to care how you look on the sideline because the Eagles will be winning the game.
That's it.
I mean, that every time this comes up, I say the same thing. When he was playing like an MVP-level player, this was fine. So if he goes back to that, it will be fine.
Yeah.
If he turns the ball over, no one's going to be happy no matter if he's smiling. Remember, Donovan smiled a lot.
Yeah, and they hated it.
Right. Like, no one's going to be happy if he's turning the football
always,
over.
Why are you always smiling?
I just think if you turn the ball over, people are mad at you. It doesn't matter if you're smiling, if you're stoic, if you look like you care, you look like you don't. Don't turn the football over, score points, and then you're going to be fine.
Just play better.
Play better. I mean, you play better, the team will likely win a lot of games, and then everyone will like you again. That's the bottom line. The Nick Sirianni press conference coming up in just a few minutes here. Ken and Sentiments. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's
good,
up,
Ken. What's up?
So let me get this out of the way, because Hugh, this one, I think you made it pretty easy today. The answer is St. Louis.
Oh, that's a good guess, but no.
Not it, but Ken.
Ken's on the side. He's on the wavelength.
You know what, Ken? Before the show started, I thought St. Louis would be a very popular, like, that's the one, but that's not quite it today.
All right, well, I'm not driving to Chesapeake anyway, so that's good. listen, I think 12 wins is the floor for this team, and they're going to run the ball for 200 yards Friday night. You don't know what you're going to get defensively, right? You got a new defensive coordinator there. Obviously, the Packers don't show anything like anybody else does in preseason either. So the easiest way to kind of, you know, take away all that exotic nonsense is to just go punch him in the mouth and run the football. And I think that's what they're going to do Friday night.
Well, you know what that could do, Ken? I mean, it could keep their defense off the field. I mean, if they shorten the game and run the ball, if they run the ball that effectively, the Packers won't have the ability to get much going on offense. I mean, they will be they'll be on the sideline the whole time.
Well, yeah, and look, that's part of the calculus, right? Is let's come in here, let's shorten this game, let's beat them up, and you know, let's get out of here. You know, before we have to put our masks on.
No question.
The air quality.
No, well, yeah, get in and get out. Ken, we appreciate it. We're going to go to Nick Sirianni, his press conference right now.
We'll do a little just casual off the record.
Hey, Nick, you have a new defensive backfield coach, coaching staff. What attracted you and maybe Vic to these defensive back coaches that you hired, and how do you think they've, I guess, helped you reshape your reconstructed cornerback and safety?
Yeah, good question, Marcus. Obviously, had worked with Joe Casper before, excuse me, and had, you know, just so much respect for him and everything that that he brought to the table in 2021, 2022. So when, you know, we got Vic back and we had a chance to do the same thing, or we got Vic here and had a chance to get Joe back, obviously that was a no-brainer. We were able to jump on that. Christian Parker, it's just highly respected around the league, and I think to myself, and how old do you guys know? I don't know exactly how old Christian Parker is. I'm an exact age, but I don't know if, like, you would ask around the league a bunch of people when I was 25 or 26, or I know he's not 25, 30 years old. I'm like, the people would have been like, who's that, right? And so, like, to understand that he's has this type of respect and this type of name, you know, because of this product that he's put on the field and the coaching that he's done, is pretty impressive. And obviously Vic had worked with him and he's been as advertised. I'm really excited about Christian, and I know our defensive backs are really excited about him as well. And then Roy, you know, having Roy Anderson he was in Seattle with Clint Hurt last year, and everybody talked so highly on him. Saw John Harbaugh before the game when we played the Ravens, and he just raved about him as well. And so, again, the guys get their foot in the door potentially because somebody had worked with them or we've heard a good thing about them. Then you do the research on the person, and just a lot of good reports coming back on all those guys. And then, you know, you don't know it completely until they get in the building, and they've just done a phenomenal job.
Nick, when you're going up against a team with a new defensive coordinator for week one, like, what goes into the preparation? How do you, you know, try to figure out what they're going to run? What are you looking at?
Yeah, you have to try to dig as much as you possibly can. Also knowing that week one, there's a lot of unknowns that are going to happen throughout the league, right? Even with people with defensive coordinators that have been there for the year, because obviously everybody's been doing different things throughout the year and, you know, studying different things and new wrinkles to their defenses and offenses. And so we'll have to be ready to adjust to anything that we get. But, you know, you try to go back, you know, to when he was a head coach, when he was at Boston College. Got a lot of respect for the coach himself. You know, he's obviously done an unbelievable job and earned the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers is obviously a huge honor, too. And so we'll have to be ready for anything, but, you know, without giving up secrets of what we've done, you know, we've looked at a bunch of stuff as well. But also knowing that everything's alive, right? There's other guys on the staff that probably have influence as well of, you know, what they talk about. And then obviously Coach LaFleur, have so much respect for him and the coach that he is and what he's done in this league. And you know, he's going to have an influence on it as well. And so we got to be ready for everything.
How eager are you to put finally Saquon Barkley out there in your offense, and how eager are you for that?
He made a run at practice yesterday, and I just remember, like, I was wearing sunglasses. It was sunny out, just kind of looking, taking my sunglasses off and looking at a couple coaches. I'm like, all right, this is awesome, you know, that we got him here, not only for the play that he brings to the field and the cut that he made yesterday at practice, but also his leadership and the person that we have. And so, I think you're so excited as a coach for everything. Obviously, you asked me about Saquon. I'm super excited for him. You know, we're up here. We're in the team meeting today. And, you know, the words that came out of my mouth, hey, and we got to be ready Friday night. And, like, wow, to say, hey, we got a game Friday night. Like, that gives me goosebumps to think about that. Like, Friday night football is what we all first. Those were my favorite players growing up. Because my dad was a coach, were the high school football players that played on Friday night. You know, was John Briggs, was my brother Jay Sirianni, right? Mike Sirianni, Pete Conley. Those were my favorite players growing up. Friday night football, I was able to say that to these guys, and it's like the excitement should be so high on every level, not just for Saquon, just for all of us. Like, this is what we, this is how we, this is why we fell in love with this game. And I'm so excited to be able to go to Brazil to, you know, play in front of very passionate fans. Obviously, super bummed that we don't get to play in front of our passionate fans. I love our fans, the home field advantage that we have, but excited. This is my first international trip, and excited and know how much they care about sports in Brazil, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited. It's Friday night football against the Green Bay Packers. You take me back to when those guys were my favorite players, and you said to me, hey, Friday night, September, whatever, 2024, you're going to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm 10 years old, and you're playing the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I would have been pretty pumped about that, and I'm still pumped about that. So, man, there's so many things to be excited for, and Saquon's obviously a big one of those.
What's your plan for what you would do on the flight? Personal plan? I mean,
my personal plan?
For 9 hours, I mean, is it a day in the office?
You know, I remember I fall asleep on trips like that, and that's been since I've been, you know, anytime Mount Union played when I was growing up, my brother was playing there. Wherever we went, if it was a five-hour trip, I slept from the moment we left Jamestown, New York, to wherever we got to, Mount Union. So, like, my natural reaction is when there's movement. Like, I don't get to do that anymore because every time we do a family trip and I'm drive, my wife doesn't drive. I have to drive everywhere, which I will gladly do because the kids are nuts during that time, and she's the one that has to handle them and get them the snacks and fix the iPads and fix the television.
My coaching law, man.
But I will probably fall asleep, but obviously can't do that the whole time. But, you know, Kellen and I are going to, and Kevin Petullo are going to watch something together on the way up. Not like The Price is Right. I don't know why the first thing I popped in my mind, but like watch some film together on the way up. So that's a chunk that, you know, there's a couple things like that I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to watch this with these guys, watch this with these guys. You know, any good suggestions on any movies that are out or anything like that? Nothing? Is anybody? Okay, maybe you guys can tell me on the side. But, you know, so a little bit of work, a little bit. I'll definitely fall asleep a little bit. And then, you know, a little bit of just relaxing there as well. Because, you know, today is our Friday, right? That's why we're meeting with you today. Tomorrow's like...
All right, there it was. The Nick Sirianni press conference.
Oh, my gosh, it's awful.
Price is Right on the airplane, Jamestown, New York. Let's get ready for some football on a Friday.
Leave my coaches alone,
All right.
Leave him alone.
I needed to hear from Nick here. 215-592-9494. With all your phone calls coming up, your guesses for Hughes Clues. Howard at 12. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Hugh believes so. I'm not there. I need to see it to believe it. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We are split today. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Hopeful Hugh over here says, yes, they are.
Call me names.
Nah, I mean, hopeful's a nice name to be. The Sirianni press conference there, we carried a lot of it, Hugh. And
sorry, Joe.
I don't need apologies. I just...
He just rubbed you the wrong way.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Friday Night Football in high school. This is the NFL.
I don't give a shit.
This is the NFL. We got a game against the Packers on Friday.
I didn't have a problem with it. Because I speak Coach Sirianni. I speak Coach Sirianni, so
can you translate for me?
No, listen. And I've said this before. With Coach Sirianni... You got to speak in short bursts. Kyle, you get where I'm going, right? Because I keep it short bursts because the longer that you give me the platform to talk, I'm going to start talking about stuff that ain't got nothing to do.
Well, Odyssey gave you 4 hours a day, so.
You know what I'm saying? That's why when you ask me questions, I answer the questions and I keep it moving.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Got to.
I do. I've always enjoyed Nick's enthusiasm. Are we really talking about like high school memories? Or Mount Union?
Yeah.
It's the first game of the NFL season.
Mount Union's in Ohio. Yeah,
That's his school.
He sounded starstruck. Like you've been coaching.
Well, he was waxing poetic.
Well, he was the Friday night thing. Yeah, that guy.
He was long talking.
He was long talking.
You got to keep Coach clear and concise. That's why, remember when he had the press conference when all we were trying to figure out what happened at the end of the season?
Yes.
And he was up there with Howie?
Yeah.
And he got to talking, and Howie's like, hold up, let me go ahead. And he saved him from himself.
He didn't let him cook.
He didn't let him cook, man, because it gets off the rails every now and then. So you got to reel him back in. So I get that.
Yeah, you do. All right, 215-592-9494 for Sirianni there. We'll be carrying the Sirianni press conferences this week, and obviously throughout the NFL season, we'll have Sirianni a lot here with us on WIP. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Ryan, who is in Brazil right now. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh.
What's up, Brian?
How's Brazil?
Extremely safe. We're going to start with that.
Well, that's good.
How long have you been there?
I've been here since last Thursday. I was in São Paulo the weekend and been up in the beach far north, a place called Trancosco.
Mm-hmm.
This beach is more safe than Wildwood, I guarantee that.
I mean, what have you been doing? You just go to the beach and go home? You've been out? You've been out in the nightlife?
Have you seen Elliot down there?
So I have not seen Elliot since I came up here on Sunday. So I've been here all week. I was out in São Paulo on the weekend. I know the nightlife. I've been here about 5 different times.
Okay.
Look, it's like any other city. Like in New York City, you don't go out in the Bronx and walk around Harlem, but you can walk around Soho at night.
Why not?
It's just like that in the Jardin here. Well, you can, but you don't. It's just not as safe. You just got to know where you're going. So in Philly, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be safe just walking around some neighborhoods in Philly. You know,
that's 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm, you know.
Yeah, I mean, different areas, different cities. There's probably higher.
It's twice as big as New York. I mean, there's 23 million people, and there's some bad areas. Yeah,
I get it. I just hope the Eagles are mentally where they need to be. I obviously everyone's got to have common sense when they go out, and the players were told not to walk around with their phones.
I don't know if I believe.
I have some good friends here. Are really disappointed when they're saying, you know, it's so dangerous and safe, and they're telling me, look, San Francisco just shot a player. These are my
Well, that is true.
I'm going to stick up for Brazil a little bit and call my radio station and put a little public service announcement out because, I mean, they're NFL fans. I have good friends here. They play in NFL fantasy football leagues, and they love NFL.
Sure. Well, I mean, that story you mentioned.
Dangerous place.
Yeah, that story you mentioned, San Francisco was obviously very potentially, you know, I mean, he could have lost his life.
Threatening, yes.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I think he's only going to miss like 4 games somehow after getting shot in the chest.
How do you miss 4 games getting shot in the chest?
I don't know, but he's okay. The bullet went through his Ricky Pearsall, yeah.
But when I think of chest, I'm thinking like bones and stuff.
It went through his back, the bullet, apparently.
You mean it went through, did it go through like his rib cage or whatever?
I'm not sure.
Did it miss some bones?
It missed like his vital organs.
Yeah.
Man, listen. Lucky. Y'all ain't gonna get me out there in 4 weeks if I got shot.
Hugh's taking his sweet time. All right, Ryan, what do you got for us? Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC?
All right, so I'm on the fence here a little bit. So one, I'm with you, Joe, in that I need to see it first. However, I've already booked my hotel in New Orleans, so I'm counting on it.
We'll see you there. Hugh's already planning to be in New Orleans.
I'm planning.
We're having beignets.
We got beignets, some etouffee.
He's going to blow up like a tick in February. It's going to be great.
some po' boys.
So I'm there already, but I mean, I'll be there anyway. I mean, I was also in Vegas and I was also in Arizona. So.
Oh, you're traveling for the Super Bowl stuff. Ryan, that's great, man. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you calling for Brazil and giving us good news that it's not as dangerous as some people are making it out to be. All right, 215-592-9494. Everybody on hold, we'll get to you. We promise you. We've been busy here in this hour. We will get to you. More of your phone calls in the next hour after we talk to Howard Eskin. Do you believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC? Does Howard? We'll hit that next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Zillow. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Tuesday, post-Labor Day, it is football season. We'll get to some Phillies as well. Nick Sirianni is going to speak. When he does, we'll carry it live on WIP as the Eagles have a big day of practice today. Tomorrow, they get on that plane down to Brazil. Speaking of, Elliott Shore Parks live from Brazil with us later on in the show. All right, Hugh, before we get to all the phone calls here, I just want to point out this poll is about 50-50. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC?
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
You believe it. You believe, say it as loud as you want. I need to see it to believe it. Where are you at on the Eagles as we enter the season? Are they the best team in the National Football Conference? All right, Hugh, before we go any further, let's give the people a second clue.
We got to give them a second
clue.
Yeah,
you know what? That first one was...
a little vague.
A little vague.
It's supposed to be vague, people.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful. All right,
so the first clue was, this is a city that Hugh played a professional game. Clue number two, Hugh.
Y'all ready for this second clue? Mm-hmm. This was a better one.
Okay.
They don't have a team, a pro team, in this city.
Oh, see, now we're getting somewhere. So that obviously eliminates a lot, but we'll figure out if people can land on this one. You want a $50 gift card you win today to the Chesapeake Inn Restaurant and Marina in Chesapeake City, Maryland. We'll be there for the show on Thursday. All right, Will in the Northeast is up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Will, what's we're up, doing man? Great. We got a Phillies team winning. We got it's week one here. This is a great time. What's up, Will?
I just want to ask, why is the Phillies winning?
Well, because you know who it is. It's someone that deserves an apology from Hugh
Kyle
Douglas.
Felino.
Yeah, I can't that's believe. Right. What a night for Nick on
listen,
Sunday.
I can't believe.
Hey, man, listen, I told you, that light is already lit, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm just grateful for the wins. And, you know, I believe they're going to keep carrying it out now. They ain't taking no prisoners no more. Ain't no more giveaway games.
No. Now we're barreling towards, you know, finishing this division with the magic number under 20. All right, Will, what are you thinking on the Eagles? Are they the best team in the NFC?
No, I can't say that. I haven't seen them play yet. I can't say they're the best just because of, you know, big names. We know a lot of teams that have big names that, like, boozed out. So until I see I got to go at least 5 games before I'm all
in. 5 of them things. You heard him.
You know what, Will? I don't think that's crazy. 2, 3, 4, 5 games.
Yeah.
We need to see them play well. Will, we haven't seen them play well since last, I don't know, November?
Right.
I mean, that's been a long time.
Right. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Right. I think like a lot of people were saying, our offense may be able to shoot it out. But I'm just worried about the defense. You know, the main thing I'm worried about is the tackling. Have they been, like, training and learning how to tackle? Because last season it was, like, a disgrace. So I'm just hoping that tackling part, you know, they improve that 100%, you know. But other than that, I think we got a great shot. I think we, like I said, I got to see first. Showing is proven.
Well,
reserved.
Yeah, well,
apprehensive.
It's okay, and I
ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for Friday night. But in terms of being the best in the NFC, I'm reserved on that. I got to see it. Will, give us a guess here. Hughes clues. Who's he? What city is he talking about today?
I think I've been on on track with you for the last few guests.
You're usually good at this, Will. Yeah, you're one of our better ones.
I'm gonna think. I got like 3, but I'm gonna go with. How about both your teams you played for played in the city? How about London?
London? Now, that's a good guess, Will. We appreciate it. That's not it, Hugh.
No, I didn't play in London.
All right. You never played in London. But that,
unfortunately.
But I think Will got the spirit of it, right?
Yeah, like, he did.
A
he
city
did.
That
he,
doesn't...
He's thinking outside the box.
...currently have an NFL team. But, yeah, Hugh played a game there, a professional game, at one point. All right, let's go to Don in Old City. What's up, Don? Don, what's up, pal?
Good guess.
What'd you say?
What I was going to say was, hey, how you doing? I feel like I got to see the Eagles play to see if they can improve, you know, from last year. Because I haven't seen anything yet.
No, I mean, that's fair.
And Just a couple more things I want to say real quick.
Mm-hmm.
As far as any players talking about going to Brazil and issues over there, this is all I have to say. Play. Just play. It's about the game. It's not about going there and taking a tour of Brazil. It's just there to play the game, period. That's it. You don't want to focus too much on tourism. You just want to see playism. That's it.
Yeah, Don, I'm a little. It kind of
bothered you a little bit.
Well, my antenna's up that they're. It's almost like a built-in excuse that this is on their mind. Like, both teams have to deal with this. It's not just the Eagles going to Brazil. The Packers got to go there too. And when I hear the Packers talk, Don, it's like, yeah, we're excited to go. And the Eagles are like, yeah, we don't want to be there. Well, you got to be there.
It's a game. Go play. Come home. That's it. Win. If we want them to win. Just go and play the hell out of the game and come the hell home. That's it.
Wait a self-edit. Wait a self-edit.
And all this other crap.
Appreciate that.
Don, I hear
you. One more thing I want to touch on.
Uh-huh.
Well, one more thing I want to touch on. As far as a Taylor Swift song, listen, I'd rather hear a SpongeBob saying Sweet Victory, Queen, or Survivor. I just want to hear some rock. I don't want to hear all that.
So you're anti-Taylor Swift, Don?
Hey, he started out so strong, dude.
I hear some rock. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear no Taylor Swift. I want to hear SpongeBob on the rock.
What about you singing Taylor Swift, Don?
Don.
That's what people say.
Anybody, I don't even want to see
that's what people say.
Not down about to kill you.
Some Taylor Swift there, Don.
Don, give us a guess here.
That's what Baltimore.
Baltimore. There's Don's guess.
Y'all better leave.
Baltimore, the home of the Ravens.
Don, appreciate it. Now, Baltimore does currently have an NFL team.
Terrible guess.
Baltimore.
Now, when you entered the league, did Baltimore have a team? When was the first year of the Ravens? I think it was 96.
No, they were Cleveland.
That's what I mean, right?
They were Cleveland because Ray Lewis... I think he got drafted in 97, 96.
He was an original Raven.
Yeah, he was a Brown.
I don't think he was.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The Browns were
the 95 Browns were the last Browns.
And then the 96 they were the Ravens.
Okay, that's right, because it was him and John. You're right, him and Jonathan Ogden. They were in the process of moving.
What a way to build a franchise. Their first two picks is
Hall of Famers.
Ogden and Lewis.
No, I mean, can't do any worse than that.
Three
from that team. Ed Reed, too, was a part. He wasn't a part of that draft. But
later on, yeah.
Yeah.
You went up. How was it to try to get around Jonathan Ogden?
Man, listen. He was like Jonathan. You know what the thing that was irritating about Jonathan? Was that he was so big and it looked like he was moving slow. And he was always smiling. I hated that about him. It was like you couldn't talk trash to him because he was a wall.
And he was tall.
Yeah, he was a big dude, man. And he just smiled and he just went on about his job.
Now, it's interesting because if my memory serves, I think his rookie year he played guard. You were speaking about how it could be challenging for a tall,
mm-hmm.
former tackle to move to guard. Now, he did it for a year, I think, and then he moved back to tackle. Obviously went to the Hall of Fame doing it. But Hugh, when we had Ross on a few minutes ago, his questions about the Eagles are the same as mine. Their pass rush and specifically the middle of their offensive line, Juergens replacing Kelsey. But the Becton thing, Hugh, you've been on this from the beginning, that Becton is very tall to play guard, and he's the guard on Friday night.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy you play against, man, that you look like you want to get up underneath. I mean, you know, when I say that, I mean, because basically Ross was talking about leverage. And you're talking about 6'1", 5'11", D tackles, that when they see a big guy like that, they're just going to try to run him back to the quarterback. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if he's having trouble with that, then they're going to have to adjust. They're going to have to make some adjustments in order to compensate for him being bull rushed. But they feel strongly about the fact that he can hold his own in the middle. And plus, he's going to have that center there. Cam's a pretty athletic guy.
Mm.
But you don't want to have a center out there that's getting a steering wheel put in his back and getting drove to the quarterback all the time. That's the thing you worry about with a guy like Mekhi Becton, as tall as he is.
Yeah, and look, Becton's career, he was pretty good as a rookie, but I have skepticism. I mean, the Jets were desperate for offensive linemen. They signed a couple this offseason. They drafted one in the first round. He was one of their first-round picks just about 4 years ago, and they let him go. I mean, it makes me wonder, like, how can he play? I mean, now Stoutland is really good, Hugh, and he's taken journeymen and helped make them into really good players.
He believes in him. He definitely believes in him. But, you know, you do worry about that, man, because it's different. It's a different animal when you go out there and you got these little D tackles that know you have trouble, like, getting low. Because that's the thing that I would think about. When I saw him playing that position, I'm thinking that, you know, you're a guy that's 6'7", if I'm 6'1", I got to play to my advantage. Mm-hmm. Low man win. And that's the one rule in football from peewee to pros that has never changed. Low man win. And if the low man is getting underneath him, that could be a problem for him.
No question. Do you believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC? Yes or no? 51% right now are with Hugh Douglas. Yes, believe they are the best team in the NFC. 49 on our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Brian is at Drexel Hill this morning. Hey, Brian.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, Brian. What are you feeling this morning?
I was really excited to hear Hugh sing some Taylor Swift, but I mean, I'll settle for talking about some Eagles.
If you want Hugh to sing, we got plenty of that.
No,
here.
No, let's not.
Nah, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Living in a big blue world.
Yeah, but I'm totally confident in the Eagles' ability to be the top team in the NFC this year. We have one of the best, if not the best, offensive core. Our big question mark, people would have to argue, would be our defense. And then even then, with our defensive backs, like, people say that your D-line, a good D-line, makes your D-backs look good. I think we're going to see the opposite. I think we have so many great defensive backs that they're going to cover well, and it's going to give our D-line more time to get to the quarterback.
You know, Brian, that's always interesting to me. It's like what came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
They do go hand in hand.
Yeah,
though. They
do. And, Brian, last year I thought they were both not good enough, right? Like, they didn't get enough of a pass rush, but also the secondary stunk. Brian, I have questions about the pass rush, but I do think the secondary is going to be much, much better. I mean, you have Slay, who, as of right now, still looks like he hasn't fallen off yet. Quinion, it seems like, is going to play a lot. And then you got Ringo, you got Rodgers. I think eventually Cooper DeJean's going to play a lot. Like, the secondary should be way better than last year.
Yeah, and then you got Malcolm Jenkins coming back. So we're, like, loaded in our defensive back. Mm-hmm. Even our linebackers, you could argue, take an upgrade with Devin White.
CJ, GJ, you mean, not Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I like Malcolm.
Back.
Yeah, Malcolm might be cooked. I think he's pretty cooked at this point.
he's
too old, yeah. Brian, give us a guess here for Hugh's Clues. What city is Hugh talking about today?
All right, I'm pretty sure I had this locked in on the first clue, and the second clue just made me more sure. I'm going to go Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ooh, Honolulu. Hugh?
No,
Brian.
That's a good guess, though.
A good guess. Now, to be fair, you did play a professional football game in Honolulu, right?
Yeah, well, if that's what you want to call it.
The Pro Bowl's not professional?
Man, everybody was over
it
there.
It was probably more professional back then than it is now.
Yes, definitely. It was. Oh, yeah.
Flag football game, no.
People used to watch the Pro Bowl. Now,
yeah, it used to be fun.
What happened?
People got tired of going to. You spend more money, like, being in Hawaii than you actually made in Hawaii. It was weird, man.
You know when it really ended to me? When they took it out of Hawaii. Where they put it, Orlando or Arizona?
They moved it
around?
The Wide World of Sports or something like that. When it went down there, it became a flag football game. But it seems like it's more fun, like more guys are involved as far as some of the events and stuff like that. So, yeah, it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I have no interest in watching it. I know some people do. What was the story last year? Remember Jalen was smiling there? He was having a good time after looking not as excited the entire season. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Mark is up on WIP. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning. What do you feel, Mark?
Well, you guys were talking about mindset earlier, and a couple things to come on here. First of all, it is winter in Brazil, so traveling there for the Packers is already an advantage for them. But more importantly,
Before you go on, Mark, I didn't realize that till this morning. I heard Elliot on. He'll join us later on because he's down there. Elliot is
this in winter.
It's their winter. Yeah. Now it's not cold, but it's their winter. Yeah, it's it never dawned on me that the climate it's winter in Brazil.
But if Coach Sirianni is listening, I hope he is. The one thing I cannot get over and not forget last year is going to be Kellen Moore's biggest challenge this year is the last game of the season against the Bucs. When the Chiefs were down, the heat was on. Hurts was sitting on the bench all to himself. And across the field, Baker Mayfield was up and down the sidelines, pumping his guys up. And there's Hurts sitting there, staring off in the – and just defeat was on his face. And as a coach, as a player, that is just unacceptable. And I hope that Kellen Moore can overcome that this year.
Well, Mark, with that, I have a lot of questions, but one question I have, Mark, and I can't wait to find out the answer whenever we get there, is how do they handle adversity? Like, it's all good now, right? Everyone is kind of shook hands and made up, and we're all good, putting our arms around it. Yeah. But like Mark, what you're saying, like the first time they struggle or Jalen has a bad half or the offense doesn't move the ball for a quarter and a half, is the mindset on the sideline like that or is it more upbeat? I don't know. How is Sirianni going to handle when things go off the rails? If they handle it well, they've got enough talent. But if they go in the tank again, it doesn't matter.
Jalen's got to be a leader. That's the bottom line. He's got to be a leader. And he's got we have a young core. And to answer your question, I think the Eagles are the most exciting team in the NFC, not the best. I think they're going to go 13-4. But I'll give it to the 49ers this year. They got a lot more at stake. They got to win. But you're speaking my language today. I'm living in Baltimore now, and Ravens are my AFC team. But I got a big green spot on my calendar for December 1st.
Oh, that's a big one. That'll be a fun game down there in Baltimore. Mark, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, what city is Hugh talking about today?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pass on this so that one of these boys up north can get a chance to win and come down and experience that Chesapeake City. It's a good place. So
it's awesome, Mark.
That.
Mark, we appreciate it, man. Yeah, we'll be down there Thursday for the show, the Chesapeake Inn and Marina in Chesapeake City, Maryland. We're kicking off the NFL season with our show there, 10-2 on Thursday. $50 gift card on the line today. All right, so Mark said something there about the mindset and the leadership of Jalen Hurts. Hugh, that came up a lot during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been talked about less his leadership. It's more been the relationship with him and Sirianni, right?
Yeah,
are those two on the same page?
It's the relationship. I'm not penalizing Jalen for doing something that he's always done. It's amazing that when things go bad, some things get pointed out and they're more, I guess, egregious when you're losing as opposed to they were when you were winning. Because Jalen, to me, when I saw him on the sideline, he's been the same. It's just that, unfortunately, when he's losing, that's when it becomes exacerbated. It becomes one of those things that people talk about a lot. It's like, oh, well, he's on the sideline. He's not saying a whole lot. Well, if you go back and you look at the year that they were winning, you know, going to the Super Bowl, demeanor was somewhat the same. Like, you could say that he was a little bit more excited.
Well, thought it was stoicism.
Yeah,
was stoic.
He's so stoic. Look how he is. He's always serious and da-da-da-da-da. So it's different when you're losing.
But doesn't sometimes different moments call for different forms of leadership?
I agree.
You know, when things are bad and people think you're sulking, it doesn't lift. Sometimes you got to lift people up.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that at some point it rubbed people the wrong way. But I can't be mad at him for handling it the way that he handled it. Now, maybe you can make the argument that it probably wasn't the right way to handle it.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he goes about that this year. But it's one of those things where I'm not going to demote him for going out there and being somewhat similar.
Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. We actually liked Jalen's demeanor when they were winning. We hated it when they were losing.
Yeah.
Here's my very simple advice on this. Play better. Throw less interceptions, fumble the ball less, and then no one's going to care how you look on the sideline because the Eagles will be winning the game.
That's it.
I mean, that every time this comes up, I say the same thing. When he was playing like an MVP-level player, this was fine. So if he goes back to that, it will be fine.
Yeah.
If he turns the ball over, no one's going to be happy no matter if he's smiling. Remember, Donovan smiled a lot.
Yeah, and they hated it.
Right. Like, no one's going to be happy if he's turning the football
always,
over.
Why are you always smiling?
I just think if you turn the ball over, people are mad at you. It doesn't matter if you're smiling, if you're stoic, if you look like you care, you look like you don't. Don't turn the football over, score points, and then you're going to be fine.
Just play better.
Play better. I mean, you play better, the team will likely win a lot of games, and then everyone will like you again. That's the bottom line. The Nick Sirianni press conference coming up in just a few minutes here. Ken and Sentiments. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's good, up, Ken. What's up?
So let me get this out of the way, because Hugh, this one, I think you made it pretty easy today. The answer is St. Louis.
Oh, that's a good guess, but no.
Not it, but Ken.
Ken's on the side. He's on the wavelength.
You know what, Ken? Before the show started, I thought St. Louis would be a very popular, like, that's the one, but that's not quite it today.
All right, well, I'm not driving to Chesapeake anyway, so that's good. listen, I think 12 wins is the floor for this team, and they're going to run the ball for 200 yards Friday night. You don't know what you're going to get defensively, right? You got a new defensive coordinator there. Obviously, the Packers don't show anything like anybody else does in preseason either. So the easiest way to kind of, you know, take away all that exotic nonsense is to just go punch him in the mouth and run the football. And I think that's what they're going to do Friday night.
Well, you know what that could do, Ken? I mean, it could keep their defense off the field. I mean, if they shorten the game and run the ball, if they run the ball that effectively, the Packers won't have the ability to get much going on offense. I mean, they will be they'll be on the sideline the whole time.
Well, yeah, it's and look, that's part of the calculus, right? Is let's come in here, let's shorten this game, let's beat them up, and you know, let's get out of here. You know, before we have to put our masks on.
No question.
The air quality. You
know? No, well, yeah, get in and get out. Ken, we appreciate it. We're going to go to Nick Sirianni, his press conference right now.
Do a little just casual off the record.
Hey, Nick, you have a new defensive backfield coach, coaching staff. What attracted you and maybe Vic to these defensive back coaches that you hired, and how do you think they've, I guess, helped you reshape your reconstructed quarterback and safety?
Yeah, good question, Marcus. I really obviously had worked with Joe Casper before, excuse me, and had, you know, just so much respect for him and everything that that he brought to the table in 2021, 2022. So when, you know, we got Vic back and we had a chance to do the same thing, or we got Vic here and had a chance to get Joe back, obviously that was a no-brainer. We were able to jump on that. Christian Parker, it's just highly respected around the league, and I think to myself, and how do you guys know? I don't know exactly how old Christian Parker is. I'm an exact age, but I don't know if, like, you would ask around the league a bunch of people when I was 25 or 26, or I know he's not 25, 30 years old. I'm like, the people would have been like, who's that, right? And so, like, to understand that he has this type of respect and this type of name, you know, because of this product that he's put on the field and the coaching that he's done, is pretty impressive. And obviously Vic had worked with him, and he's been as advertised. I'm really excited about Christian, and I know our defensive backs are really excited about him as well. And then Roy, you know, having Roy Anderson and he was in Seattle with Clint Hurt last year, and everybody talked so highly on him. Saw John Harbaugh before the game when we played the Ravens, and he just raved about him as well. And so, again, the guys get their foot in the door potentially because somebody had worked with them, or we've heard a good thing about them. Then you do the research on the person, and just a lot of good reports coming back on all those guys. And then, you know, you don't know it completely until they get in the building, and they've just done a phenomenal job.
Nick, when you're going up against a team with a new defensive coordinator for week one, like, what goes into the preparation? How do you, you know, try to figure out what they're going to run? What are you looking at?
Yeah, you have to try to dig as much as you possibly can. Also knowing that week one, there's a lot of unknowns that are going to happen throughout the league, right? Even with people with defensive coordinators that have been there for the year, because obviously everybody's been doing different things throughout the year and, you know, studying different things and new wrinkles to their defenses and offenses. And so we'll have to be ready to adjust to anything that we get. But, you know, you try to go back, you know, to when he was a head coach, when he was at Boston College. Got a lot of respect for the coach himself. You know, he's obviously done an unbelievable job, and to earn the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers is obviously a huge honor too. And so we'll have to be ready for anything, but, you know, without giving up secrets of what we've done, you know, we've looked at a bunch of stuff as well. But also knowing that everything's alive, right? There's other guys on the staff that probably have influence as well of, you know, what they talk about. And then obviously Coach LaFleur, have so much respect for him and the coach that he is and what he's done in this league. And you know, he's going to have an influence on it as well. And so we got to be ready for everything.
How eager are you to put finally Saquon Barkley out there in your offense, and how eager are you for that?
I mean, he made a run at practice yesterday, and I just remember, like, I was wearing sunglasses. It was sunny out, just kind of looking, taking my sunglasses off and looking at a couple coaches. I'm like, all right, this is awesome, you know, that we got him here, not only for the play that he brings to the field and the cut that he made yesterday at practice, but also his leadership and the person that we have. And so, I think you're so excited as a coach for everything. Obviously, you asked me about Saquon. I'm super excited for him. You know, we're up here. We're in the team meeting today. And, you know, the words came out of my mouth, hey, and we got to be ready Friday night. And like, wow, that what an unbelievable to say, hey, we got a game Friday night. Like, that gives me goosebumps to think about that. Like, Friday night football is what we all first. Those were the like my favorite players growing up were, because my dad was a coach, were the high school football players that played on Friday night. You know, was John Briggs, was my brother Jay Sirianni, right? Mike Sirianni, the Pete Conley. Those were my favorite players growing up. Friday night football, I was able to say that to these guys. And it's like the excitement should be so high on every level, not just for Saquon, just for all of us. Like, this is what we, this is how we, this is why we fell in love with this game. And I'm so excited to be able to go to Brazil to, you know, play in front of very passionate fans. Obviously, super bummed that we don't get to play in front of our passionate fans. I love our fans, the home field advantage that we have, but excited. This is my first international trip, and excited and know how much they care about sports in Brazil, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited. It's Friday night football against the Green Bay Packers. You take me back to when those guys were my favorite players, and you said to me, hey, Friday night, September, whatever, 2024, you're going to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm 10 years old, and you're playing the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I would have been pretty pumped about that, and I'm still pumped about that. So, man, there's so many things to be excited for, and Saquon's obviously a big one of those.
What's your plan for what you would do on the flight? Personal plan? I mean,
my personal plan?
For 9 hours, I mean, is it a day in the office?
You know, I remember I fall asleep on trips like that, and that's been since I've been, you know, anytime Mount Union played when I was growing up, my brother was playing there. Wherever we went, if it was a 5-hour trip, I slept from the moment we left Jamestown, New York, to wherever we got to Mount Union. So like my natural reaction is when there's movement, like I don't get to do that anymore because every time we do a family trip and I'm drive, my wife doesn't drive, I have to drive everywhere, which I will gladly do because the kids are nuts during that time, and she's the one that has to handle them and get them the snacks and fix the iPads and fix the television.
My coach alone, man.
But I will probably fall asleep, but obviously can't do that the whole time. But, you know, Kellen and I are going to, and Kevin Petullo are going to watch something together on the way up. Not like The Price is Right. I don't know why the first thing I popped in my mind, but like watch some film together on the way up. So that's a chunk that, you know, there's a couple things like that I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to watch this with these guys. You know, any good suggestions on any movies that are out or anything like that? Nothing? Is anybody? Okay, maybe you guys can tell me on the side. But, you know, so a little bit of work, a little bit of, I'll definitely fall asleep a little bit, and then, you know, a little bit of just relaxing there as well. Because, you know, today is our Friday, right? That's why we're meeting with you today. Tomorrow's like...
All right, there it was, the Nick Sirianni press conference.
Oh, my gosh, it's awful.
Price is Right on the airplane, Jamestown, New York. Let's get ready for some football on a Friday.
Leave my coach alone, Leave him alone.
I needed to hear from Nick here. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up. Your guess is for Hughes Clues. Howard at 12. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Hugh believes so. I'm not there yet. I need to see it to believe it. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Today's show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We are split today. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Hopeful Hugh over here says, yes, they are.
Call me names.
No, I mean, hopeful's a nice name to be. The Sirianni press conference there, we carried a lot of it, Hugh. And
sorry, Joe.
I don't need apologies. I just...
He just rubbed you the wrong way.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Friday Night Football in high school. This is the NFL.
I don't give a shit.
This is the NFL. We got a game against the Packers on Friday.
I didn't have a problem with it. Because I speak Coach Sirianni. I speak Coach Sirianni, so...
Can you translate for me?
No, listen. And I've said this before. With Coach Sirianni... You got to speak in short bursts. Kyle, you get where I'm going, right? Because I keep it short bursts because the longer that you give me the platform to talk, I'm going to start talking about stuff that ain't got nothing to do.
Well, Odyssey gave you 4 hours a day,
You know what I'm saying? That's why when you ask me questions, I answer the questions, and I keep it moving.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Got to, man. Got to.
I do. I've always enjoyed Nick's enthusiasm. Are we really talking about like high school memories? Or Mount Union?
Yeah.
It's the first game of the NFL season.
Mount Union's in Ohio. Yeah, he went.
That's his school.
He sounded starstruck. Like you've been coaching.
Well, he was waxing poetic.
Well, he
was
the Friday night thing. Yeah,
He was long talking. You got to keep coach clear and concise. That's why. Remember when he had the press conference when all we were trying to figure out what happened at the end of the season?
Yes.
And he was up there with Howie.
Yeah.
And he got to talking, and Howie's like, "Hold up, let me go ahead." And he saved him from himself.
He didn't let him cook.
He didn't let him cook, man, because it gets off the rails every now and then. So you got to reel him back in. So I get that.
Yeah, you do. All right, 215-592-9494 for Sirianni there. We'll be carrying the Sirianni press conferences this week, and obviously throughout the NFL season, we'll have Sirianni a lot here with us on WIP. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Ryan, who is in Brazil right now. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh.
What's up, Brian?
How's Brazil?
Extremely safe. We can start with that.
Well, that's good.
How long have you been there?
I've been here since last Thursday. I was in São Paulo the weekend and been up in the beach far north, a place called Trancoso.
Mm-hmm.
This beach is more safer than Wildwood, I guarantee that.
I mean, what have you been doing? You just go to the beach and go home? You've been out in the nightlife?
Have you seen Elliot down there?
So I've not seen Elliot. I came up here on Sunday, so I've been here all week. I was out in São Paulo on the weekend. I know the nightlife. I've been here about five different times.
Okay.
Look, it's like any other city. Like in New York City, you don't go out in the Bronx and walk around Harlem, but you can walk around Soho at night.
Why not?
It's just like that in the Jardin here. Well, you can, but you don't. It's just not as safe. You just got to know where you're going. So in Philly, you know, if 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be safe just walking around some neighborhoods in Philly. You know,
that's 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm, you know.
Yeah, I mean, different areas, different cities. There's probably high.
Different
areas. Yeah.
It's twice as big as New York. I mean, there's 23 million people, and there's some bad areas. Yeah, it's true.
I get it. I just hope the Eagles are mentally where they need to be. I obviously, everyone's got to have common sense when they go out, and we know the players were told not to walk around with their phones.
I don't know if I believe.
I have some good friends here are really disappointed when they're saying, you know, it's so dangerous and safe, and they're telling me, look, San Francisco just shot a player. These are my.
Well, that is true.
I told them I'm going to stick up for Brazil a little bit and call my radio station and put a little public service announcement out because, I mean, they're NFL fans. I have good friends here. They play in NFL fantasy football leagues, and they love NFL.
Sure. Well, I mean, that story you mentioned.
Dangerous place.
Yeah, that story you mentioned, San Francisco, was obviously very potentially, you know, I mean, he could have lost his life.
Threatening, yes.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I think he's only going to miss like four games somehow after getting shot in the chest.
How do you miss four games getting shot in the chest?
I don't know, but he's okay. The bullet went through his Ricky Pearsall, yeah.
But when I think of chest, I'm thinking like bones and stuff.
It went through his back, the bullet, apparently.
You mean it went through, did it go through like his rib cage or whatever?
I'm not sure.
Did it miss some bones?
It missed like his vital organs.
Yeah.
Man, listen. Lucky. Y'all ain't gonna get me out there in 4 weeks if I got shot.
Hugh's taking his sweet time. All right, Ryan, what do you got for us? Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC?
All right, so I'm on the fence here a little bit. So one, I'm with you, Joe, in that I need to see it first. However, I've already booked my hotel in New Orleans. So I'm counting on it.
Oh, we'll see you there. Hugh's already planning to be in New Orleans.
I'm planning.
We're having beignets.
We got beignets, some etouffee.
He's going to blow up like a tick in February. It's going to be great.
Some po' boys.
So I'm there already, but, I mean, I'll be there anyway. I mean, I was also in Vegas, and I was also in Arizona. So.
Oh, you're traveling for the Super Bowl stuff. Ryan, that's great, man. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you calling for Brazil and giving us good news that it's not as dangerous as some people are making it out to be. All right, 215-592-9494. Everybody on hold, we'll get to you. We promise you. We've been busy here in this hour. We will get to you. More of your phone calls in the next hour after we talk to Howard Eskin. Do you believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC? Does Howard? We'll hit that next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number
draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.